The hidden node for June 25th, 2013. So, it's been a week since I posted. I wanted to give you guys a bit of an update. I don't believe I had given you the final status of the short story I had talked about in my last post. I know I was supposed to follow up with a second episode last week, but it didn't happen. Well, the good news is, the short story did happen. I did follow up on my word, I did finish the short story. I'm in the editing process now. It's already gone through one batch, and, well, I don't really have that much more to go. I'm actually going to finish up some of the touch-ups that my friend of mine edited for me Sunday. And, you know, kind of go over the dialogue. Those are big suggestions. She's a friend of mine. She does a lot of editing work. Well, not really. I take that back. She's really good at editing and should be doing a lot of editing work. She doesn't really. She edits my stories sometimes, and she edits another friend of hers, who's a really good writing friend of mine. Fortunately, she just doesn't do it professionally. I wish she did, because she deserves it. You know, she's got the chops and the experience to do it. Anyway, the feedback she gave me, well, only 4 or 5 grammatical things. I had taken care of everything else through my first editing pass, so yay there. Her only critique, really, in terms of story, was one that I actually am going to take care of, which is the story dialogue needs to be tightened up a little bit. She felt it was a little scattered, somewhat. So I'm going to take care of that. Just, you know, redo the dialogue, make sure it sounds okay in my head, and then, you know, speak it out and make sure it sounds okay when said aloud. I think it's going to be okay. I'm kind of happy with it. The first editing draft I did read it aloud, which that does make a difference. If you don't do that, I highly recommend it. You know, even if you don't like the sound of your voice, whatever, just do it. Speak the story out loud. Especially things like dialogue, they really do need to be spoken to really be understood. Visualizing dialogue in your head, it doesn't quite work as well. So, that's her first suggestion. Her second one was my scene transition, which I think might be a little bit more of a formatting issue rather than a writing issue, in that she felt like it kind of jumped a little bit here and there. And I think that was because the software I used, for some reason, removed my double spaces, so the little kind of extra bar things between scenes wasn't apparent, was not there. So, need to take care of that. I think what I'm going to do is just add little kind of section headers, just, you know, 1, 2, 3, or whatever. Split up the scenes, that way they appear more apparent. So, that's the two things I really need to take care of. Critique-wise on the story itself, I dig it. She pointed out that my style was a bit more noir kind of sounding. And that interested me. Mostly because, noir is a genre it's a genre I've been interested in, but never really indulged. A story here too, like, T. Morris's, Billy Bob Batting series. But that's kind of dipping my toe in noir, coming from a high fantasy kind of angle. Seriously, if you have never listened to T. Morris's Bilbo Baddings books, Bilbo Baddings and the Case of the Slinging Sword, and Bilbo Baddings and the Case of the Pitcher's Pendant, they are fantastic stories. They're really cool. Unfortunately, he only wrote 2 in the series. He had plans for more, but apparently the sales for those books weren't quite there. So he's, you know, professional writer. You got to follow the money a little bit. I mean, write what you love, but if you're not making the money from the writing and other stories you do love writing are making money, maybe go with those other stories that you still love as well that are actually making money too. Come back to the fun stories, you know, another time once you have a better base of operations. So, anyway, getting back to my point, I guess her point, in that she wanted me to look some more at noir novels to kind of learn the genre a little bit better. I mean, I'm still a science fiction writer and sometimes fantasy writer. That's kind of my thing. But if my style has a noir feel to it, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't feel like science fiction and fantasy are genres. They're not genres to me. I mean, I call them that because, you know, it's kind of the lexicon of the culture of writing and readers and all that. But they're not. Science fiction and fantasy is a setting. You can have noir and sci-fi. You can have romance and fantasy. You can have horror in both of them. You can have, political thriller in both of them. You know, I mean, technically, it's, Game of Thrones is kind of all of those, if you want to look at an example of that. Fantasy part, not the sci-fi part. Be kind of interesting to throw some sci-fi in there, but I don't think people would like that. But that's the thing, I don't really feel sci-fi fantasy should be called genres. They're not. They're settings. Whether it's contemporary, futuristic, cyberpunkian, that's not really a word. They're all settings, they're not genre. Genres is a type of story. It's, horror, western. Well, I guess not really western. Western is just kind of another, adventure or romance or noir or whatever. These are story types, western, sci-fi, fantasy. Those are settings and set pieces to use for those other story types. So it just, I don't know. Just bubbling in under genre just doesn't really make sense to me. I guess that's why, I don't know, it's been a long time since I've heard about it, but when I used to go to writing meetings at the local thing for the Florida Writers, sorry, let's rephrase. When I used to go to local meetings for the wow, my voice is just trying to die tonight. When I used to go to Florida Writers Association meetings, that was a big thing they focused on, was that science fiction and fantasy authors should try to get their books into other genre sections in, the bookstore. To a degree, I can understand and agree with that. On the other hand, I don't. I'm kind of swinging on that because I get why, and I do agree why. Because you want somebody looking for romance to find your book if they're looking for romance. And if you're writing a romantic sci-fi, well, who's more likely to be interested in your book? A romance reader or a sci-fi genre reader? I don't really think most quote-unquote sci-fi genre readers are looking specifically for a romance novel. Some may be. And I'm sure many like having romance in their books. But I don't know if that many actually focus on having romance as the kind of, tantalizing element of the story. Okay, so, one more. If you're definitely hearing the crickets, I bet, because I am outside tonight. But, so I can understand, if you have a sci-fi setting romance book, then yeah, you want it in the romance section because a romance reader is more likely to take a look at it because it's a romance story. Whereas, if you have a mystery, you want to be where the mystery readers are. If you have a noir, well, I guess noir is a type of mystery, but you get the drift. You want it to separate yourself from the genre label, I guess. Where do they get on the subject from? Oh God, I'm meandering tonight. That's what I get for recording this about half an hour to an hour before heading to bed. Right, getting back to the short story and the advice from my writer friend or editor friend. So, per her suggestion of exploring the genre of noir, I picked up The Big Sleep. And forgive me and my kind of lazy brain right now, but I have for some reason forgotten the name of the author. I want to say Roland Chandler, but my sleepy, hazy brain is telling me, you're probably wrong. So I am kind of vamping right now as I pull up the phone and try to look on there, and Raymond Chandler. I was close. So yeah, I picked up Raymond Chandler's The Big Sleep. Kind of lists as one of the kind of fathers of the L.A. noir kind of, you know, setting and genre to itself, or subgenre, I guess. Yeah, it's been really good. You know, for a book that's 80 or so years old, it holds up really well, and I gotta be honest, I'm really digging it. You know, I mean, I know there's a movie, and she suggested a couple of movies like that. Big Sleep, Maltese Falcon, and all that. But I decided to focus on the book side of things. I am going to take the time to, you know, get the movie and watch it as well. But I wanted to read the book first. Mostly because, you know, I'm trying to learn the tropes of both the genre and the medium. And, well, I'm writing. I'm not writing a movie script. If I was working on a movie script, then I'd probably look at the movie first, then the book. Mostly to see how you adapt one type of story to another medium. But right now I'm just kind of trying to look at the genre itself. Sorry, getting sleepy. So I think I'm probably going to call this an end soon. But the book's interesting. I'm about a quarter of the way in. It's interesting reading this particular book because a few months ago I was reading through some Lovecraft, and you know, it's kind of a 20-25 year difference between the stories, time period of being written, but you can really see where storytelling kind of shifted going from, you know, the earlier parts of the 20th century to closer toward the middle part. You know, this 1930s, 1940s piece reminds me much more of modern, you know, kind of, pardon me, reminds me more of kind of more modern reading and writing than the kind of 19th century feel that Lovecraft has. You know, Lovecraft kind of has this, you know, you have this narrator telling you a story as if it happened before, and a lot of his pieces kind of feel that way to me, of just a dude is sitting there telling you a story. Whereas with this Raymond Chandler story, you know, I feel like I'm going through it as the story's happening. You know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know, I think I want to go back and read some more classic fiction. More turn of the century stuff, and just kind of look a little bit better at that. It's kind of interesting. I always considered myself a big reader, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I was, you know, still growing up in the school. But I guess I really wasn't to the degree I thought I was. I know I read a lot of fantasy novels back then, a lot of D&D stuff, Dragonlance, that type of thing. A couple of Shadowrun novels, but for the most part, I never really indulged in what I guess you could consider the classics. And I guess I've been changing that the last few years, and I guess I should probably hold off on that story until a later date, because that's a huge topic itself, and as I go through the multitude of books I've gone through in the last year or so in terms of classic fiction. So I will try to remind myself to mention that in the next episode. In the meanwhile, I'm going to head off. I'm going to post this. Then I'm going to go to sleep. So I will catch all of you on another date. Take care.